Friday, Pam and I were here in the sanctuary alone, and she was singing that song. I was walking around out there listening. She wanted me to hear the song, and said, "I really like this song." Midway in the song, she began to cry. It was just she and I here, and she wasn't able to sing the rest of the song, and I felt moved as well. Later in the day, as we talked and we realized, what is it that's so moving about that song? It's the realization of the friend that God has been. The realization of that. God, my friend. I'm probably going to spend the rest of my life, or till the Lord comes, trying to get across passionately that God wants to be personal with you. That the creator of the universe wants to be personal with you. And if you will allow him in, it will be life-changing. It will be transforming. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. One of our verses in the mentoring group. God desires relationship. Adam, where art thou? The God who spoke the sun into existence, let there be light. Just said it once, and there are still millions of light years left in the sun. Over and over throughout the scripture, not once, but over and over and over, he calls out for relationship with us. And wants to ultimately bring us to be full-fledged sons and daughters. But I'm talking about an intimacy and using the weak word, really, the weak English word. I wish there was a stronger English word. Some other languages are better. The weak English word, friend. You know, you can be a son and not really be a friend. You can have a biological son that's not really your friend. God wants to bring us to sonship and daughters of God, but he wants an intimate relationship with us. And once you buy into that, you will never be the same. And once you buy into that, you won't be satisfied with anything less. Once you buy into that and you begin receiving the comfort of the Holy Spirit, for the deepest need of the human heart is comfort. That's what addictions are about. Well, we can get caught up in the right and wrong. You shouldn't do this. This is bad. That's bad. And we can have our checklist. It's deeper than that. These are substitutes for the Holy Spirit. God will take you on the slow route. And I say that cautiously. Because there will be things he moves you into quickly. But he will take you overall on a slow route of growth. And he will ripen you and develop you, and there'll be seasons in your life, and some will be sunny and hot, and some will be rainy and dismal. But at the end, there'll be fruit in your life, and you'll be the tree you were intended to be. And that inner place that only God fits will be filled with him. If a fish told you he was wet, you would realize that at some point he had been dry. And there's something within us that this world doesn't satisfy. Something within us this world doesn't satisfy, and that alone tells us that we were made for something eternal. Does that make sense? God wants a friendship with us. And I don't know why I felt so passionate about this morning. I said, "Pam, sing that song right before I preach. I don't want it before announcements. Don't want it before the kids were dismissed. I want it right before I preach." Because I need to say to somebody this morning, and maybe it's your first time here, I don't know. I don't keep track of all that stuff. I ask forgiveness for that too, because I'm so intense and involved in what I'm doing in music and scripture that sometimes people have been here 3 months and I look at them like I've never seen them before. And I don't mean that to be that way. But for someone this morning, I want to say you are not alone. Quit chasing the next relationship. Oh, there's a place for that. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalms 37:4, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He knows what you need. But we got to get the basic problem fixed. We can medicate all this other stuff. We got to get the basic problem fixed. We got to get the root problem fixed. But as we get the root problem fixed and that God-shaped inner place, the secret place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When that secret place is found and filled by God, then it enhances everything else. And then everything else will come in its proper time. Do we need relationship with each other? Yes. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, but God said an interesting thing. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Well, that seems odd. I thought man had God. I thought they walked in the cool of the day. Why would God say it's not good for man to be alone? And he made woman. Because God who made us, we're complex creatures, and God knows the needs. And of course we need relationship. And there's nothing wrong with desiring those relationships. But the root issue has to be settled. The root issue has to be fixed. Is God your friend? I'm telling you, you are not alone. You are not alone. Talk to him. If you are in a situation right now where you're in a big empty house, talk to him in that house. Begin practicing the presence of God. The devil comes along and tells you, oh, you're talking to yourself, your prayers, practice the presence of God. Put it on and wear it. And God will begin showing up in your life in remarkable ways that you didn't expect. We start out with association with God. Last week, I introduced this. We start with association with God. We move then into more and deeper relationship. It's in association with God that we feel that appreciation of forgiveness. We've just accepted Jesus as our Savior. We received him into our heart. And there's an appreciation. And I like to think of that first stage and just reviewing here, that first stage of friendship as association with God. We've accepted forgiveness. We've received Lord Jesus Christ. We are learning to hear his voice. We move then into comfort and company, where he becomes our comfort. He becomes filling those places that we chased after other things to fill and did things we shouldn't and were involved in things we shouldn't be and things that were damaging to ourselves and others. Did you know that the thou shalt nots are there to protect you, to keep you from damaging yourself because God loves you? We can get caught up in the thou shalt nots. Well, God's this big boss that wants to tell us what we should do and shouldn't do. No, the law is given out of love. God has given the law to protect. When my boys were little, I said, thou shalt not ride thy bicycle on the road between 4:30 and 6. Thou shalt not ride thy bicycle, in the King James Version. On the road between 4:30 and 6. Was I trying to be big boss? Was I trying to be legalistic? No. When I was a kid, I got hit twice. Not very bright. Got hit once on a bicycle. Got hit once walking. I know what it's like to get hit and down on the pavement you go and you, in your stupor of laying there and unsure and dull and your head is hurting and way off you hear an ambulance and it's getting closer. And I looked up, fortunately, in our home to have such a blessing. My mother was kneeling on the pavement and praying over me. She was kneeling on the pavement. I know what it's like to get hit and knowing that that can be painful and life-changing. I said, thou shalt not ride thy bicycle on the road. The law is given out of love. The law is given to protect us. But we start out with association with God, and then we move into comfort and company. He's accompanying us. He's our company. He's our partner. And we begin letting him meet our needs, and we begin walking in obedience and receiving his love. And then comes inspiration. We start in our relationship feeling inspired. We start having scriptures jump out at us that we hadn't seen before. We start getting thoughts we hadn't had before because we're in his company and we're spending time with him, and it's not just an association anymore, and we're walking in his precepts and we're serving those, we're following his precepts and his guidelines for life, and we recognize he's trying to protect us and we're receiving that from him, and then comes inspiration. We begin to become inspired, and we're in a church service and for the first time a song moves us like it never has before, or the pastor gives a sermon and it's just exactly what we needed and we know it was tailored for us, and we opened the Bible on Tuesday morning and we were just even questioning about reading because we were tired, and a verse was right there that we needed for that day. And then that afternoon in the break room, we had a conversation in the factory break room that confirmed that feeling we had this morning. We start getting some inspiration. We start being inspired. This friendship is growing. And then comes transformation. Reviewing last week, God told me to go over this again. After inspiration comes transformation. You know why? Because you can't stop it. When God starts inspiring you, you can't stop the changing. That used to make me so mad, and it doesn't anymore. I used to just fly off the handle when that happened. I didn't. Inspiration starts transformation. May I remind you, though, that you have to yield to these steps God walks you in. You can at any time shut it off. You can at any time say, I'm not going any farther with this thing. You can at any time say, I'm not going to go with this. He stands at the door and knocks, Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. I'll connect with him. God wants to connect with you. He wants to be personal with you. He wants to bring transformation. Where are you in your friendship with God? Because if you will keep surrendering to him and you allow him to bring transformation, then you will move into revelation. And revelation is an awesome place. Many of you here have stepped into that realm in your friendship with the Lord. This doesn't happen in 5 minutes. Oh, God can the first day you're saved give you something unusual. The second week you've been a Christian, God could give you a dream that's just incredible. And he does pop in, if I may say it. No disrespect, but he does kind of pop into our lives at times and just kind of do things. And I think at times he does that to whet our appetite, to draw us. But after inspiration and transformation, as we begin changing and becoming more like Christ and spending more intimacy and time with him, the revelation stage, and that's where he begins revealing his will to us. He gives us knowledge of things we didn't know. He gives instruction to us. And I believe that the time in the friendship and walk with God, that period of time with growth, when we come to revelation, it's an awesome thing. What are you doing, Pastor? I didn't know you're going to preach the same sermon over. What? I'm trying to get a hunger and to whet your appetite because I think you want this. I've been around all of you enough that I think you want this. But I think we got a cluttered world. And I think we've got too much media. We got too much, and our senses are getting dull, and we got to somehow figure out how to simplify our lives and wind things back a little bit. And if you're in the family raising years, that isn't easy. But God will always give you grace to do the right thing. So don't hide behind that. Pastor, if you knew my life, you know I can't do that. God always will give grace to do the right thing if you want it. I'm hopeful that a spark will form in you. I see it in our mentoring group. I see it in the Women Seeking God group. That you get a little taste of what revelation is and you think, I want that. I want that. Friendship with God. You are not alone. He'll be with you. And with revelation comes favor and blessing. And I'm going to go back to revelation, but I believe it's in the season of revelation, and I can say this from personal experience, I believe that it's in the season of revelation that God starts showing his favor and blessing in an unusual way. And you start seeing God move in your life in ways that you hadn't seen before. And someone will say, why did that happen? You'll say, I don't know. I think it was just God's favor and blessing. That's all I can say. I can't take any credit for it. Wasn't anything of my doing, but in the stage of revelation, you begin experiencing the favor and blessing of God. Is God your friend? Jesus said, I call you no more servants, I call you friends. For a friend doesn't know what the Father's going to do, but I have revealed revelation. I have revealed to you all that I'm going to do. The scripture says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm actually going to read that passage in John 15. I just quoted part of it, but I feel like for some reason I'm supposed to read that. John 15, verse 13. In fact, I'll start with verse 12. My command is this. I'm reading from John 15, 12. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends for everything I have learned from my Father. I have made known, or in the original language, it's revealed to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. Do you hear that? Don't you be feeling worthless. We got an epidemic of no self-esteem. People have grown up without parents. They've grown up with no affirmation. I think one of the worst things we did in America, if I can just jump off on politics for a second, I think one of the worst things we did in America was consolidate schools. We need to upgrade education for sure. But when I was a little boy, there was 12 kids in the fifth grade class, and all of us were on the basketball team. And we got recognition. And we were somebody, we were part of something. Now do you go to school and there's 3,000 there and they just pick a starting five? Guess if you're gonna play, huh? And there's been so many things happening in our world that have made us a number and made us feel insignificant. And I could go on and on with that. I won't. I think we need to upgrade education, but I think consolidation of schools. We become a number. We're nobody. We don't matter. Do you know you matter to the Lord? You are not alone. You matter to the Lord. This is poison in our society. This worthlessness, it's poison. I know people have talent that is absolutely unbelievable, and they are convinced they are worthless. And I tell my wife, I'll say, I don't know how to get them out of this. I don't know how to get them out of this. They are convinced they're worthless. You are not alone. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What do you mean, Pastor? You were chosen. I'm going to tell you what that means. The chosen people. Does God play favorites? Nobody picks the people that are serious. Let me tell you what chosen means. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Here's what it means. When you step up with a hunger and you say, you know what? I'm not going to chase dollar bills all my life. You know what? I'm not going to build the biggest business in the world. There's nothing wrong with God's blessed your business. And God often does that if you're a godly man or woman. But I'm not going to chase all that stuff that doesn't satisfy. You know what, Lord? I'm going to step up because I want association. And I want the comfort and company of the Lord. And I want that inspiration like the pastor's talking. I want to be inspired. I want to be transformed. And Lord, I want revelation. And when you say that, he said, I choose you. That's how it works. Is that scripturally and theologically sound? Oh, absolutely. He said to the woman at the well, the true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's scanning the horizon, looking for people that are serious. Step up. Step up. I'm not going to do all the nonsense, Lord. I'm not going to do what society is shoving down our throat. Romans 12, 1, be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed. I like the Phillips translation, old translation. My daddy often used it. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into its way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on, you guys. Come on, you gals. We gotta spend our time with God. You don't have to do it like I do. We're all different. But you gotta spend your time with God. Let's grow that friendship, because I'm gonna tell you something. It's headed for inspiration, transformation, revelation. It's headed there. That's where it's headed. Oh, you can get stubborn. You gotta keep raising the white flag. You know, you just get calluses on your hands doing this. Pastor Bishop used to say, I've eaten so much humble pie, I kind of like it. Lord, keep humbling me, keep breaking my pride, because those are barriers to closeness with God. And now, my friends, I want to read from Exodus 33, and you guys in the mentoring group, don't you go sleep. I'll call your name. The reason I said that is because I refer to this chapter all the time. I love this chapter. I wasn't going to use this one, but I felt like God gave it to me to use. Exodus 33. Moses, the friend of God. I'm going to read verses 7 through 23. Talk to you a little bit more and then let you go. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp. We're at Exodus 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, and called it the tent of the meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of the meeting outside the camp. You ever noticed that God always has you do something kind of special? Here again is the chosen thing. He wants to see who will step up. Now, back in Genesis, when the three visitors came to Abraham, who were the Lord and two angels, I believe. It says three men to start out because that's what they appeared to him. But as he talked to him, one of them was the Lord. And then there were the angels coming to tell him about Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, Abraham was known as the friend of God. But it's interesting when you go back and read that story. We're not going to go back there. I started it last week and didn't finish it. But it's interesting. It says that they were going to pass by. But he went out and said, come on. Come in. Let me fix you something to eat. But they were acting as if they were going to pass by. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He wants to see if you're going to step up. And I believe that day, Abraham would have missed a tremendous revelation if he'd just been too busy with it all. You know, they were like, oh, we're kind of on our way somewhere. Abraham, it says that he said to them, he beseeched them, come on, come in, I'm going to. And he called his servants and he said, kill a calf and let's have a meal and let's sit down. And it was in that time that revelation came and they began talking to him and telling him that he was going to have a son. And remember, Sarah laughed. And the angel turned and said, did you laugh? She said, she lied. And she said, I didn't laugh. I'm 99 years old and I'm going to have a baby. You got to be kidding me. He said, don't you be laughing at what I tell you. God's a friend. He shows up in the middle of the afternoon. I've had God show up in the morning. I've had God show up in the middle of the night. Some of you have the same thing because you're walking with God and you're making a friendship and you're having revelation. Keep growing. Keep going for it. Friday night, I woke up, turned over, and looked at the clock. With these new eyes, I can see the clock. I turned over and looked at the clock, and it said 12:36. And as clear as anything, God said, pray for the darlings. So I laid there for the next 40 minutes or so, off and on, and I prayed for Danielle, Rick and Amy's daughter, and for Ricky. Went there yesterday, said I had kind of a moving experience. God woke me in the night, and I knew I was to pray for you. And she looked at Ricky, and she said, oh, that's the time we were having such a hard time. We didn't know what to do. Not bragging. Many of you could share experience after experience where God will wake you up. God's just as real as he ever was. We're just a cotton picking doll. We're media to death, and we got layer about this thick. God's speaking just like he always has. Now, there are seasons where God's voice is stronger than others, I believe. But actually, in prophecy, it says, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. This is the generation supposed to be hearing the best. So if we're not hearing, we must not be connecting. You with me? This is the generation supposed to be hearing. Yes, am I prodding you? Yes, I am. Don't be offended. Why would you be offended that I'm offering you the best thing there is? And you know why I can sell this, and you know why sometimes I can't talk without crying? Because this works. When I had cancer and they said I wouldn't live the night, it worked. At 11 o'clock at night, when they quit dancing around the issue and told me, we can't type your blood. It's too contaminated and we can't get a hold. We think we know what your blood type is, but we can't find the right blood for you. And we're concerned. And they quit messing around and they're hurrying in out of my room. And they had told me I wouldn't live the night. And I was bleeding between my teeth and out my nose. You know what? I was not alone. And God said to me, you have walked with me, now I walk with you. I said, Lord, I'm too weak to pray. And he said, you don't need to. Don't you fear the future. Don't you fear what's coming down the pike. Don't you fear the tribulation hour, because you are not alone and God will be with you. And the morning after our house burned, Tom and Tricia were so gracious, let us come over and spend the night. Others had offered. A number of you even stopped out. And there were 30, 40 people the night of the fire when the house burnt. And we lost everything. And, you know, you're kind of caught up in all that and trying to talk with everybody. And the next morning I knew at 4 o'clock when I woke up, I needed to just go over and talk to God and be alone. And I drove over by myself to the house and walked around in the ashes. And I said, Lord, it's August. We just got through cancer treatment. Lord, this has been a hard year. Just got through the cancer treatment. Now our house burned. But Lord, I know you're here somewhere. And I stumbled over a plaque somebody had given me on the floor that hadn't burnt, and I picked it up, and it had the verse, the ways of the Lord are perfect, on the plaque, and hadn't burnt. I still have it. Mark had gotten me that a number of years ago. What am I saying to you? You are not alone. And God, one by one, just lined everything up for winter and gave us places to stay and ended up giving us favor and blessing. Revelation, then comes favor and blessing. I wouldn't trade the house I got now for that house burnt for nothing. I'm glad it burnt. Now, we don't glory in material things, but I do want to identify it when God blesses you too and call it what it is. I sit on that porch, one person has a bigger porch than me, Cracker Barrel. It's 12 by 60. Same size as the mobile home we started in. Sometimes I'm sitting on the porch praying, God will say, I've said, Lord, I never dreamed I'd have this nice of a place. This is awesome. I feel guilty living here. This is so nice. Your friend will show up. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I'm telling you, the reason Pam cried that song on Friday, because she knows that in some of the most alone times, we've been going through a hard time in the family right now and grieving over some decisions made in our extended family. And you're praying for us, and we appreciate it. But that knowledge, that's why she cried, the knowledge, I am not alone. I am not alone. And I want you to know this morning that you are not alone. And if you will seek first the kingdom of God, quit chasing that other nonsense. Quit. Sorry. I always repent for getting aggravated. But I get so frustrated at times when people just keep chasing this stuff that isn't going to fix it. Don't hit your head on the same pole 10 times, for heaven's sakes. God doesn't want us to bloody our brains. And then two years later, we hit our head on the same pole. I said to somebody one time, I said, haven't you hit that pole enough times? This isn't working. Hello? This isn't working. I'm not making fun. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm saying we got to deal with the real issue. And we got stuff going on down in here that only God can fix. I'm telling you, only God can fix. And that's why we sing Amazing Grace. Because God will bring you to a place of revelation where you'll be amazed at the difference. I am not the man I used to be. I know that. I feel different. Whether I'm alone or with somebody, but I feel different. I am different on the inside. I like the woman that gave the awesome testimony that had a horrible life of addiction and living on the streets. And she said, I look back at my former self with amazement and sometimes even amusement. Not amused at the bad thing she did, but like, that was me? I used to think that way. Kevin, I can't imagine that you don't have that at times. Look back and look at your mindset when you were in a supremacy group in prison and think, that was me? In that mirror? Transformation. Let God inspire you. Chase it. Chase it. I probably hold the world's record of getting off the subject. So Moses puts out the tent of the meeting. Interesting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent. That's where I was. You know, God has you step out. He has you do something. Abraham's three visitors were going to go on by, and you know he had to go out there. You got to let it be known, Lord. Hey, over here. I went on the team. God says, "All right, you're going to do it." He stepped up. You know what this is about. You're going to take up your cross and follow me. Come on, I choose you. He's no respecter of person, but he waits on our choice. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose up and stood at the entrance of the tent watching Moses until he entered the tent. And Moses went into the tent, and a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Isn't that awesome? Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord would speak. We're talking about moving in his friendship to revelation. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Moses wasn't divine. Moses wasn't the incarnate Son of God. He's just like you and me. This is available. Let me stop here for a second. As a young man, God challenged me with that question. Do you really think that these things in here are available, Tom? Yeah, I do. How bad do you want them? And I am thankful that a hunger was born in me as a young man to pursue God. And I pray that he'll put it within you. And some of you have it. Some of you have had it, but you've smothered it. Only you can answer that question. This lights my fire, folks. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Now, is the scripture contradicting itself? In this same chapter, over in verses 17, 18, 19, it says that, in fact, in verse 20, it says, you can't see my face, for no one may see me and live, in the same chapter. So, come on, what's this about? We repeat that. Verse 11 says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, but then later, in the chapter, Moses says, I want to see you, Lord. And remember, he said, you go stand in the cleft of the rock and I'll go past. You can see me from the back, but you can't look on me at live. So what's this about? In the human body, we can't see all the glory of God at once. We can't take it. in Revelation chapter 1. There's the word again, revelation. Yeah, when God gave the revelation to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos of future events, which we're entering into right now. It says in Revelation, I'm going to take just a second and talk about that. It says in Revelation 1, 9 through 18, that John was among the golden candlesticks and he heard someone behind him. And he heard a voice speaking like many waters, like a waterfall. And understand that he's fumbling here trying to explain in human terms glorious things. He says there is a voice like many waters. And he turned and saw one and realized that it was Jesus. And what happened? The Apostle John, it says, fell as a dead man. Because in his human form there on the Isle of Patmos, where he was exiled for his faith and preaching, he couldn't take the glory of God, and he fell as a dead man. And the Lord took him by the hand, as I recall. I don't want to misquote that. But the Lord raised him there and gave him the revelation through a variety of ways. We'll not go any farther with that. But the point I'm making is that Moses here, it says that God spoke to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And then later in the same passage, it says that he hid him so he wouldn't see his face. And John in the New Testament fell. So what am I saying? There is, I'm going to say it as I wrote it. There is a connection. There is a connection with God that you can receive as you grow that will make anything visual inferior. This isn't a contradiction of Scripture. It says that God talked to Moses face to face. God made us in the image of God. We have personality. We have a living soul. He made Adam out of the dust of the earth and then breathed into his nostrils. That sounds pretty personal, doesn't it? God's shouting it to us in the first chapter of Genesis. He spoke everything else into existence. Let there be light. And there was light. But he formed man. He got involved with it. He formed man out of the dust of the earth and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We are made in the image of God. There's more to that than just face. There's more to that than physical appearance. We are made in the image of God. We're made with a soul. We're made with personality. There is a connection with God that comes as you grow in him that is stronger than anything you could see. And when it says, study it for yourself, we're not on the defensive about God's word, study it for yourself. When it says he spoke to him as he would speak to a friend face to face. In other words, there was a communion. Moses had answered that call. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. There's a communication. When I was in the hospital, and I had a number of visitations that were powerful. And I say that cautiously, for the secret of the Lord is with the righteous. Sometimes you spoil it when you tell it. And I ask the Lord's permission often to tell things. But I was in the hospital. I had more encounters with God in that hospital during that 5 months off and on probably than I've ever had in a church service. But I found in that deep trial, in that hour of despair, in that time of weakness, that there was a connection with God that anything physically seen would be inferior to. You can make a connection with God that'll make you so sure that you're his. Some of you battle terribly with worthlessness. I started out with that. Many of you battle terribly with low self-esteem, and rightly so. Forbid that you'd been sexually abused. Oh, mercy. The scars of that. Oh, my goodness. The scars of that are horrible. God's in the transforming business. you've got to receive the friendship that he's offering you. He wants to commune with you face to face. Not my nose touches his nose. It's far deeper than that. I'm made in his image. The core of myself connects. The core of my personality, the core of who Tom Robbins is and his chemistry and his makeup and that eternal part within us, there's a connection there that would make anything seen physically inferior. Walk with him. Spend time with him. Cultivate a relationship with him. Then Moses would return after being at the tent of the meeting. But his young aide, Joshua, did not leave the tent. Interesting. Interesting, a lot in that. Moses would go to the tent of the meeting, out away from things. The pillar and cloud of God would surround it, and people would stand back in awe. And God would speak to him as a man speaks to a friend face to face. Then Moses would return to the camp. Listen, stay with me. Don't want you to miss this. You guys in mentoring group, I especially want you to get this. This is for you. Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua would not leave the tent. Are you chasing Moses, or are you chasing the God of Moses? We got a lot of people, man, we're going to go here, you know, we're going to go to this church, this person. Now, let's be balanced. People can play a key role. I could never put in words the impact that Pastor Bishop had on my life. You know, some people get on my nerves a little bit on this, you know. Oh, it's just terrible to say anything good. Somebody's helping. You're glorifying the person. Hello, there are people that have helped me tremendously, and they have names. Okay? Don't tell me that Elijah didn't have a lot of effect on Elisha. Come on. But that's not who we're worshiping. Okay? That's not who we're worshiping. So I am indebted to the godly people God has put in my life. I've had some incredible examples. My two mentors were Ronald Bishop and Jack Robbins. They don't get better than that, in my opinion. But it says that Moses would return to the camp, but his aide Joshua would stay at the tent because he wanted to know the God of Moses. Get your motives right. Get your motives right. Do you want to know the God of Moses, or do you want position? Do you want place? Do you want rank? I want to be seen with the big guy because, you know, I think we can get caught up in all that. Why am I saying this? It might seem like kind of an odd sidelight. We got to sort through our motives and where we're coming from. We got to figure some of that out in our walk with God to experience transformation. I realized in my mid-30s, it's a shame I'd have to be that old to figure this out, that a lot of times I called on people for affirmation. Yeah. As a pastor, I would call on people because they would give me affirmation. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting some affirmation. We all need some once in a while. Affirmation can be a good thing. Now, if you have an unbelievable, uncontrollable hunger for affirmation, you're out of balance. But we all need affirmation at times. But God, and in this friendship with God as we grow through these stages, he shows us our motives, and he brings us to have a pure desire for the God of Moses, not Moses. You with me? The God of Moses, not Moses. And the young aide did not leave the tent. Guess what happened to Joshua? When it came time for Moses to go, he was Moses' successor because he had sorted through his motives and he had found that he was seeking the God of Moses. All right, I got to close here directly. Moses said to the Lord, I think this is so awesome, this kind of a friendship. He's always very reverent, but he says, now, Lord, you've been telling me. And did you know you can negotiate a little bit with the Lord? Yeah, appropriately. Don't ever lose your reverence. That's one issue I have with a lot of our movements nowadays in churches. They lack reverence. Our God is an awesome God, and he's to be reverenced. This is theologically sound. It says that Aaron the priest, pre-Jesus, Aaron the priest, Moses' brother, said his God was on him. It says, because he reverenced my name. I never ever want to lose that. But did you know you can negotiate with God? Did you know Abraham was the friend of God, and when the three visitors came and said they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, now, Lord, suppose there's 50. Will you change your mind on this thing? What about 45? What if there's 40? What if there's 35? In the old-fashioned auction where he Jewed God down, and God would negotiate with him as his friend. Almost done. You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Revelation, favor, see the soundness of what we're talking about? Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. One of the advantages of a Bible falling apart. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What will distinguish me and your people from the other people on the face of the earth? I love this verse. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. God will give you identity. God will give you identity in this lost in the system world, in this epidemic of low self-esteem. People desperately need identity. People are doing all kinds of bizarre things. Did you hear me? People are doing all kinds of bizarre things to get recognition and hopefully find some identity. They're changing or trying to change who they are from birth. And it's sad because they're seeking for identity. I will do what you have asked because I am pleased with you. And I know you by name. And Moses said, now show me your glory. I am amazed that he had the courage to do that. He had the courage to say, show me your glory. He had to be confident in who he was in God to say, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And the Lord said, there's a place near where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will remove my hand and you can see my back, but you can't see my face. Is that precious or what? That a little tiny man, you know how, if you don't realize how insignificant we are, and I'm not talking about worthlessness now, I'm talking about in the mass of the universe and the millions of people, we can often feel like we're so very small. God, Moses had the courage to say, show me your glory. You've got to receive identity and accept ownership to ask that. If you always think I'm this worthless nothing, you can't ask for anything. Do you agree? You can't see it hinders petition because you can't ask for anything because I'm nothing. I'm worthless, so I wouldn't deserve anything. Moses had received enough identity from God that he said, show me your glory. And it is absolutely amazing to me. God backs up his friendship. He truly is the friend. He says, all right. And he's probably a little amused. He's all right. All right. You can't look at me. It'll kill you. I don't want to lose you. Go over there and stand. Go over there and stand in the cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and I will pass by. And then after I get by, I'll move my hand, and you can see me. It's awesome to be at a place with God. Many of you are going there. Many of you are well on your way. You're on your way. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You're on your way. Hey, watch for him. He'll pop in even when you're in the first stage. Watch for him. I'm sure that God sent me a heavenly being out in front of Kroger's one time. I was just in the association stage. I had just started. And I was studying the second coming of Christ, Jeff, like you're interested in. I was so interested in all that. I was reading and studying. And I was sitting out front, and some guy I'd never seen before, different looking individual. What really got me was his eyes. And he come and sit down by me. And I just looked over at him and I said, hi. And he said, how? Hi, how are you? What are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just sitting out there spending a little time praying on my break time. And he started talking to me about the times we're living in and the Lord coming back. And that guy went around the corner of the store. I never saw him again after that. And to this day, I believe that God, the Bible says many have entertained angels unawares. I believe that God sends. Watch for him. Oh, you dang God, I got to get to work and that stupid boss I got. Anger takes you out. All these difficulties I have. And God's up there saying, I'd like to talk with you today, but looks like you're in a different mindset. He doesn't quit loving us during those times, but he has trouble getting through to us. Why did he say in everything give thanks? Because when you give thanks in the hardships and you go ahead and break through it and give thanks to him anyway, he'll start showing up in things. You'll say, man, God's showing up. No, he's there all the time. We're just too tunnel vision. We're just too wrapped up on our own self. That makes sense. Keep pedaling the bicycle. Keep going for it. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. God close. Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to challenge you. I always have you stand and talk a couple more minutes. I'm sure you figured that out, so I just say it. Go ahead. Ask him something. Go ahead. Step out there. Lord, I know I'm just in association stage, or maybe I've moved into the, you know, you're kind of accompanying me. I'm doing a little better. Once in a while, I have some inspiration. Go ahead. Step out there. Start asking him something. Lord, I want to know you. And I'm going to look. And I ain't going to be honked off all the time. And I'm not going to be sideways and ungrateful all the time. It isn't that God doesn't love you anymore when you're like that. It's that you shut it out. Anger takes you out. When you're angry, the Holy Spirit, the dove settles over here and says, I would like to work through you, but I can't work with that. The way you're acting, I had somebody say to me one day, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to tell them off. And I'm going to just tell them what I think. What do you think? And will you pray for me? And I said, well, I probably could pray for you, but my guess is that God won't want to be part of that attitude. And they said, oh, I never thought of it like that. I want the Holy Spirit to accompany me. It didn't mean he quits loving you. No, he still died for you. He still loves you. But he can't be part of that. Guys, when you let your mind and eyes go everywhere they shouldn't, and you entertain all kind of thoughts you shouldn't, the precious dove has to fly over here and light over here and land over here. He says, I'd like to work with you today, but I can't be part of these thoughts you're having. He's not kidding when he says he wants to live in here. He's not kidding. But if I'm going to pollute all this, he has trouble working through it. Does that make sense? I think that makes all kinds of sense. People say the gospel, I don't understand. I think it makes all kinds of sense. He still loves us. He doesn't X us off and say, I'm done. Actually, he flies over here, if I can say it that way, reverently. He flies over here and he says, oh, I wish you wouldn't go there on the internet. I want to use you. I wanted to show up today. I wanted to talk to you out in front of Kroger's. I can't be part of this, son. I can't be part of this. Makes sense? Invite him. And then clear the way. All right. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us this morning. Take these truths and use them. May we put them on and wear them. May we apply them in our lives. Melt anything I've said in the flesh. May the things that have been said in the spirit be firm and grounded within us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.